to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 30. Now, the disciples have been sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ in twos. They're coming back now to give a mission report to the Lord Jesus. They're so excited that they're back with Jesus to tell him all the wonderful things that they've been doing. But it doesn't just work out that simply. Verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So far, so good. But then, many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Trust that God will bless this reading of his word. Now, I think it's a very bad thing to be interested just in building a ministry rather than actually building people. And I think this passage shows that the disciples had more of an interest in their own personal ministries than they had in the people that they were sent to minister to. Sometimes some actions are not at all appropriate. There's nothing wrong with playing the fiddle, but as the age-old saying shows, it's not appropriate to play the fiddle when Rome burns. There was nothing wrong with the disciples wanting to tell Jesus about all the things that they had done on their mission trip, but it was not appropriate for the disciples to want to have a monopoly on Jesus' time, especially when there were people that need to be cared for, people who needed to be fed. In this story unit in Mark's Gospel, Mark displays the shepherd qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those shepherd qualities are seen more clearly in Christ as they are put in contrast to the lack of shepherd qualities evident in the disciples. The narrative begins with the disciples coming back to the school of Jesus to report on how they got on their very first apprenticeship work experience assignment. Verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported him all that they had done and taught. The disciples here are referred to as apostles because they had been sent out by Jesus and they had been given very special powers. And they had the time of their lives. Never could they have imagined that they would ever have been able to do some of the amazing things that Jesus did. They healed sick people. They drove out demons. They preached the very same message that Jesus was preaching. Some of the people that were listening to the disciples thought that it was a great message, and they repented of their sins. But there were those who got very angry with the disciples, and they didn't want to know. And you'll never guess who heard about the disciples and created quite a fuss. Old Herod went wild. He was beside himself, freaking out, because he thought that this spate of miracles, this display of power, that it must indicate that Jesus Christ must be John the Baptist raised again from the dead, and we looked at that last time. Can you imagine the excitement of these disciples wanting to come back to tell Jesus all that had happened, who they had met, all the people that they had healed, those who had received them, those who had rejected them, how they were received, how they were rejected. Can you just imagine Peter? I can. I can imagine him bursting at the seams with excitement, stumbling over his words as he tries to relate everything in one mouthful, all that he had been able to do. Then during the moments when Peter was quiet, and they probably weren't often, Thomas would just manage to get a word in. At the beginning, he probably doubted, this is not going to be a great mission. I know it's not going to go well, but it did go well. And people were healed. The gospel was preached. And now they've come back excited to tell Jesus about how much they were able to do and how much they had experienced the power of Jesus working in them. There was so much that they wanted to say and to tell Jesus, but there were so many people coming and going that they couldn't get a moment's peace to be with Jesus. Verse 31, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I can just imagine the disciples. We have earned this rest. We have been so busy. There's so much to say. There's so much to tell. There's so much excitement. Being alone with Jesus, what an opportunity. But then an interesting twist takes place in this story, which leads many people to believe that Jesus was actually bringing the disciples back to the classroom for them to learn a very valuable lesson about how to have compassion on people. You see, people weren't there just to preach at. People weren't there just to be healed. In being a shepherd of the sheep, there is a personal sacrifice to be made. But the disciples were looking forward to this retreat in this solitary place, alone with Jesus at last, to tell him more, alone with Jesus just to rest in his company, alone with Jesus to banquet with him, alone with Jesus to hear his wonderful teaching. And after all, they had been on an evangelistic tour. They had worked long hours, they were exhausted, and they just needed time to recuperate. But it wasn't to be. They got on the boat to face a 4-mile journey across the Sea of Galilee, but the crowd spotted them, and they set out on the first mini-marathon to run the 10 miles around the lake, and many of the people there arrived ahead of the boat, and many others had come from other towns. There's some evidence from the disciples' cheeky attitude to Jesus that they weren't at all happy about the turn of events. They had been so looking forward to their time alone with Jesus. The reason they got into the boat in the first place. And you remember whose idea it was. It was Jesus' idea. He said, come, be alone to rest, to have time together. But look what happens, verse 34. Jesus landed and saw a large crowd. How does Jesus respond to this very large crowd? We're told he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, what did he do? He sent them away. No, he didn't. He began to teach them. What did the disciples say? Lord, send them away. It's late. They need to go. Some of them have been here all day. They need to go and get food for themselves. At this point in the narrative, Mark is drawing upon some Old Testament pictures here to try to flesh out for us something concerning the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The picture of Moses leading the people in the wilderness is behind the scene. As Moses is drawing near to the end of his life, in Numbers 27:15, Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd." Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion upon them. Moses had been a shepherd to the children of Israel, and now he turns attention to pray for another shepherd. The new shepherd was called Joshua, the Old Testament form of the name Jesus. And in a sense, Jesus is the second Moses. The writer to the Hebrews sees him in this role. Jesus fulfills this mosaic picture by coming here in the form of a shepherd to these people who are out in the wilderness. Another Old Testament picture of the shepherd is found in Ezekiel chapter 34. The whole of Ezekiel 34 forms the background for a proper understanding of this Jesus shepherd role. The Lord had this to say against the rulers in Israel, the people who were supposed to be shepherds. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves." The disciples wanted to be alone themselves with Jesus. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. These 12 apostles are going to form the foundation of the New Testament church. They are going to be shepherds in the church. They're going to have to learn to have a shepherd's heart, to have a heart of compassion. What is God going to do with this people who have no shepherd? This is what he says in Ezekiel 34. "I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd." Jesus not only is the second Moses, he is the second David, the one of David's royal line. You see, Jesus did not suddenly just appear on the scene. His coming was predicted in the Old Testament. It was the plan of God that God would send and give a shepherd. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is in the wilderness place with the crowd. And notice how Mark had earlier described them in verse 31 as people who were coming and going. They were running along the lake shore from all the towns of the desert. They were coming and going like sheep without a shepherd. He looked upon them, and in a setting reminiscent of so many wilderness scenes from the scriptures where God had cared for his people, so Jesus, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, is the coming shepherd. He views the people and he has compassion upon them, and he began to deal with the greatest need, the hunger for spiritual food. Jesus sacrificed his quiet time with his disciples to care for the people. To the original readers who really weren't all that impressed with the idea of any man who would go to the cross, They are seeing here for the first time Jesus in the shepherd role, and they will learn by Jesus' behavior what a personal cost to Jesus that he spent in his ministry. They will also learn the idea of self-sacrifice. Jesus will teach his disciples that it will cost them to be under shepherds. Now, of course, the supreme act of sacrifice by the shepherd Jesus is that he goes to the cross and lays down his life for his sheep. He says in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." What do the disciples want to do at this stage? They're all so excited by their ministry, by the great things that they've achieved. It's interesting when you listen to some folk talk about their ministry. You learn more about them than you learn about the people that they ministered to. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is beginning to try to turn the disciples round in their attitude. Yes, you've got all these exciting things, but what was the power that I gave you about? What was the message that I gave you? What was that about? The authority that I gave you, what was it for? That you might minister and bless these people. That's the important thing. Not what you were doing, but who you were doing it for. My sheep, you feed them, says the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus, as the shepherd Jesus looks with compassion on these people. And so often that's how we do see the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. Jesus is not like some politician that tours the country trying to drum up support for his cause. He has compassion on his people. He cares for individuals. Jesus was not about to dismiss these people and drive them away. He cared for them. Jesus is not about to dismiss you and drive you away. He looks upon us as sheep without a shepherd, and he loves us with a shepherd's heart. Now, people who are called into the ministry, like myself, I'm an under-shepherd under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the over-shepherd, he said, "You feed them. But I want to have a rest." Pat, I was a little bit amused when I was sitting down beside you earlier. And you said to me, "You have another service, you can't rest yet." And I thought, how does that just fit into what we are looking at here this evening? Wonderful. Can't rest yet, disciples. You feed them. He has compassion for people. He cares for individuals. He cared for them. He loves them. The lesson to learn here is that Jesus was not just on some kind of an impersonal mission. So many of the philosophers of the past few centuries that have sought to have people follow them have showed by their private lives that they really couldn't care less about the people that they were trying to influence. There is a book by a guy called Paul Johnson called Intellectuals. And it's about the lives of many philosophers. And Johnson looks at their personal lives, and it is clear in how they lived personally that they had no concern about the consequences of the philosophy that they were putting forward to people. But as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he's seeking to encourage people to understand the personal love that he has for them. He is concerned because he knows that they need to understand the message. That love and care extends down to this very day in the 21st century, where ministers who are commissioned by Christ have a responsibility to pass on the message that Jesus Christ has given. That Jesus Christ loves you. That he is the good shepherd who has given his life for the sheep. He has given his life for you. This man, Jesus Christ, is a shepherd, but at a great personal cost, a great sacrifice, a sacrifice that Christ has made that you might know your sins forgiven. You can't ignore a shepherd like this. You can't ignore a man like this. Have you been leaving him out of your life? Stop doing that and accept his shepherd's love and be saved. Have your sins forgiven. What we see exemplified here in Christ's behavior, we learn again in the instructions that he gives to his disciples. The disciples come to Christ after he has been preaching and teaching many things to the people. Verse 35, by this time it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. You see, this is their chance. He's done. Finished his sermon. He said, amen. It's over. Now here's our opportunity to reset the agenda to where we really wanted it to be in the first place. Jesus, this is a remote place. Let's get some reality back into the picture here. This is a remote place. It's already very late. These people are hungry. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Let them go and sort it out for themselves. Get the picture here. Many of these people had been out late the night before. Many of them hadn't been home. Many of them have run 10 miles. And they'd listened to Jesus preaching and teaching for quite a few hours. They were tired, they were hungry. And the disciples, who probably thought of themselves as very practical, down-to-earth people, the ones who are in touch with the real world, said to Jesus, send them away. Do you suspect for a moment that there might be a hint of suggestion here that the disciples might feel that they now can have their time with Jesus again? Get rid of them so that we can get on with the important business of talking about the kingdom of God. But they are the kingdom of God. Here's the lesson and the commission to the disciples. He answered, you give them something to eat. And after the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's in fact what the apostles did. They had learned their lesson. You feed my sheep. You love them. You care for them. These are the people that you've been preaching to. The people that I have given you power to do miracles among. You were so interested in having time to tell me all about your work among these people. Now here is lesson number 2. Feed these people. Have compassion. Be like a shepherd. You give them something to eat. The disciples didn't react well to this piece of instruction from Jesus. If I can paraphrase here to get across the mood of what the disciples are saying. Where on earth do you think we're going to get that kind of money? It would take 8 months' wages. Do you expect us to go and rattle the money tree again and spend that much money? Get in touch with the real world here. One modern paraphrase captures the disciples' attitude. It puts the disciples' reply in this way. Are you serious? You want us to go and spend a fortune on food for their supper? Can you see how the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ is magnified when we see it in contrast to the disciples? Imagine having a church mission, and we've preceded that with weeks of prayer meetings, and we've had our mission. And now we're tired. The mission's over. And a crowd of people come into the church building. And they want to hear the gospel. No, we're done. We're having a retreat. We want to talk to Jesus. Just go away. That's what's happening here. And the disciples are having to learn, this is not the way of the kingdom of God. This is not the way that it is supposed to be. There's a lesson here for our evangelistic work. Jesus said, you feed them, not just crowds, not just strangers. The problem these days, we say, is how do we reach strangers? Strangers wouldn't want to come to church, but friends might. But are we making those self-sacrificial efforts to try and make new friends so that we can bring friends to hear the gospel message? But the disciples said, we can't keep them here. We have nothing to provide for them. What can we do here in Hounslow West? We're so few in number. We haven't the resources to reach out. That's what the disciples were saying. You see, we are in danger of reducing everything to the natural. Have we, as Christians, stopped believing in Christ? The disciples would have sent the people away. There may be very little here by way of natural provisions, but have we forgotten that Jesus Christ, the one who made heaven and earth, is here, and He can feed them if only we would have committed the matter to Him? The disciples were all excited about their recent work experience, but the one thing that they needed to learn was compassion. How amazing to be excited about our work, our ministry, and not care for people. How could we get ourselves into that kind of a condition? To be excited about our ministry for Christ and not care, not love for those whom we're trying to feed. Not to be restrained by the limit of natural resources, but to realize that Jesus was there. The one who called everything from nothing by the power of His word. What are 5,000 hungry people? What task is this that is too much for our shepherd Savior? Jesus said to them, sit them down on the green grass. And I think there's an echo of the shepherd's psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Mark says, put them down on the green grass, and I will feed them. Because Jesus was there as a shepherd, there was food for all. Christ fed them. Christ used the very limited natural resource, and all were satisfied. Christ will be your shepherd if you stop straying and wandering away from Him. Whatever your life is like, if you come to Christ like a shepherd, He will feed you. But what about the disciples? They didn't seem all that smart or quick on the uptake. What did Jesus have for them? We're told that there was 12 basketfuls. Everybody was satisfied. The 5,000 people were satisfied. They had a full tummy, a full meal, extra piece of cake. They were delighted in what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for them. And what about the disciples? They deserve to starve, don't they? After all, when you think of their attitude, but the Lord Jesus Christ made provision for them as well. 12 basketfuls left over, one for each of them. Christ will feed all, even His erring disciples. He had enough for them. You see, He did care for them that they'd been out on their mission trip, that they were hungry, that they were tired, that they needed rest, that they needed feeding. But he had a very valuable lesson to teach them, and time was short. So he has to teach them, if you are going to be a shepherd yourself in the kingdom of God, then you will need to have this vital quality. You will need to have compassion. You will need to love my people. And Christ feeds us in order that we can feed others. Even at times. You see, the difficult thing with about being a minister is that we are just like beggars who have found bread and we're trying to share with others where they too can find bread. We never get to a place of perfection. It's not a place of perfection that we're coming from, but a place of weakness, a place of struggling, a place of trying to discover these things and the meaning of these things in our own lives, the place of trying to have the same kind of compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people, and feeding on Christ and sharing that with others. Christ fed the people. He looked upon them as sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion upon them. That compassion that Christ had took him the whole way to the cross. Because he loved us with an everlasting love. Jesus Christ did not go to the cross to win the love of God for sinners. The whole plan of salvation was initiated because of the love of God. And the love of God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a shepherd for his people. To be the good shepherd that would lay down his life for the sheep. And he went and he died upon the cross. He put called 12 apostles. He gave them power. He gave them authority. He gave them a message. But he said, don't go again without compassion. Don't go again without love. Preach in love. Teach in love. Feed my people because you have compassion. That's the kind of compassion that we need to have for those who are outside of Christ, that we might seek to feed them. Not send them away because we don't have the resources here, but to remember the one, the shepherd, the chief shepherd, is in charge of a vast resource, and we can draw down from that resource in order that people will be fed. Let us pray.